Welcome to the PowerPack Conversation Series, where we calibrate coherent conversations with high achievers. My name is Sheridan Pollock. I'm a Master Executive Coach, and it's my energized pleasure today to engage Basalt Intentional Technologies. If you can imagine it, we can build it. Founder and CEO, Wayne Zwiers. Good to be with you today, Wayne.
Thank you, Sheridan, and thank you for having me on your show.
It's my greatest pleasure. So we've been having a year and a half conversation around coherence. And just for the listeners, I close my laptop because, as I always say, the best conversation is a real one. My conversation with you has been humble, really, really innovative and pacey, but also fascinating in terms of out-of-the-box creative thinking. My experience of you, Wayne, is fundamentally on a bottom line level, that you have this incredible appetite to download and receive information and to work in the very moment with innovating around that which you digest and receive.
Sure. It's amazing. It can be tiring at times.
Yes.
And it's just in your introduction, the high performers, and just that kind of struck me in terms of what is the DNA or what is a high performer and what is the different levels of high performance.
Yes.
And I think the interesting thing there is, you know, you can't be a high performer. It doesn't mean you're performing all the time.
Yes.
That's a critical thing that I've come to learn is high performance is actually performing the right things at the right time, at the right speed.
Yes.
And that's definitely over the past few years I've had to learn and had to master, actually.
Yes.
And still learning that, which is very interesting.
Yes. So what you're describing is rhythm. And we were actually speaking about that earlier. So just for the listener, one of the first connections that I had with Wayne, he did a retreat of mine in the north coast of Natal. And Wayne had no idea this was going to happen, but he was put on a surf ski in some of the biggest break in this country, surf break. And they literally broke that boat that day in those waves. Do you recall, Wayne?
I do.
I could show the listeners some footage.
We actually drove the kids past it afterwards and said, there's the boat we broke in. So they're petrified to get into a surf ski nowadays when
yes.
they see it. They're like, oh.
Well, don't worry. We'd never do it to them.
So.
But for the listener, and to my point, I think at that stage there was the distinction that started to land around the difference between intensity, speed, okay, and rhythm. How to establish a rhythm, how much of what, when, as opposed to just harder, faster.
Totally.
And I think that wave taught us a few things about that.
Totally. So that wouldn't be an event because it was a build-up to a massive downwind that was 32 kilometers,
yes.
2Ks out in the ocean. But the interesting thing was it was in the December, the year before COVID broke out in March.
Yes.
So the lessons learned and mastery that was done in those sessions was actually then applied in the following years,
yes.
which was quite amazing and almost a blessing, I think, because it was preparing me physically and mentally for what was to come.
Got it.
And a lot of that was the person that I was with is a world champion downwind. He's a world champion. And
yes.
I only came to realize that he'd only ever been in a boat with 9 people in his life and
yes.
had the privilege to be one of those.
Mm-hmm.
But being a city boy and being thrown in the waves just to swim. And I remember panicking and shortening my breath and battling in those massive waves, smashing down on me. And he's in the waters. He's like, just relax, lie on your back and relax. And
yes.
as soon as you like start breathing and relax and let go, you actually, the intensity stops. But it's the unpredictability of the ocean,
yes.
which is again tied back into life and society of, you know, there's unpredictability. It's how we have to manage and steer our lives through that. So how do we get better and fitter at that and use these lessons in order to apply to our daily lives?
Yes, and particularly as an entrepreneur and a fast-moving entrepreneur like yourself, to be able to read the features of the situation and choose the correct rhythm, intensity, and pace versus just relying on speed alone.
Totally, because faster is better because we're seeing more impact, but the people around us to keep up with that pace or intensity, it can't be expected.
Yes.
And also one, it's our calling, and entrepreneurs have that as a calling, and they've potentially onto something that they feel is their life's calling, whereas individuals around you or that are learning stuff and in business are still like trying to figure that out. So for us, it's like, you know, why didn't you get it? Let's go, go, go. But it's, you know, the expectation and the reality and managing that with other people also can be tricky at times.
Yes. So just to pan out for the listener, we're referring to the coherence model that Wayne and I have been working with over a series of many, many months. Pre-COVID, the five vertebrae of the coherence model were items that, Wayne, you were working through, scanning to see which were your blind spots, where were you pretty strong, and whom in your inner stable could you support? The Entrepreneurs Organization, you had your own crew that visited with us, as well as your own internal basalt team in terms of the five coherence vertebrae. Maybe just let for the listeners, let's outline one or two. Right now we're talking about spaciousness, vertebrae number two. How much space we have in our bodies so that we can be even, consistent, measured, and be able to read the features of the situation. So that fast breathing that you were referring to on that boat, that was the opposite of spaciousness, wasn't it?
Totally, totally. Okay. It's funny how I support and how people support me. So it's definitely I keep and people keep me accountable. So it's a two-way, like a two-way process in everything. And interestingly enough, one of my leaders on the leadership team actually said, you know, we're in a pickle of a situation. We're like, what should we do? And they said, we're going to give it space.
Yes.
And it was just, everyone was just like, oh,
amazing.
That feels good.
Amazing.
And yes, that we're stressed and we're like, we don't know what to do.
Yes.
And that space just gave time to then let it unroll and unravel in the right place.
Got it.
And what's interesting is also the right thing will be at the right time, whether we like it or not. We want certain things, but they're not available to us at this point or that time. And that's out of our control.
Yes.
So it was a kind of, like a bit of a cheeky, fun, quirky way of it's the yellow brick road, and when the road lights up yellow or green, you step on the stone, the next stone.
Yes.
And if it's not, you wait. And if you get to a T junction, you don't know where to go, just hold.
Wayne, that sounds like it's an app in the making. Can I invest? How much?
Amazing. Yeah. Give me the intro to the adherence model.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. Let's talk after the session, okay? So we'll go like this constantly if we don't stop ourselves.
Okay, we're innovating all the way through.
So let me ask you about this team. So you've mentioned a few times in terms of the mental agility that you bring to your team and that they are demonstrating. And I think it's one of your trademarks. I think it's probably one of the most distinct characteristics of the basalt team is that there is this agility to move with innovation, new events, new technology, and in particular, amazing clients who have an understanding and expectation of excellence.
Totally.
So let's just ask, who are the key people in your team that you're working with right now? And maybe just give the listeners a snapshot in terms of where basalt is and where you guys are heading over the next 6 to 12 months.
So for us, it's all about people. And so often we hear, geez, the toughest business is that we have to lead people. And I say lead, not manage, because that's not how business and people work today.
Yes.
They're leads from behind, actually.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think on that note, you know, it's really what's the individual's core values and deeper rooted like essence. And even when meeting people, interviewing from at the first point, is not going superficial, going deep to understand who are they and what makes them tick.
Yes.
I mean, in our team, you can see the values are very much aligned. And one of our core values is people before code.
Yes.
So it's all about people first.
Lovely.
How are we supporting each other as people, which is the grounding and the gravitas, and everything else is easier to build on top of that because ups and downs and fast and slow, as we've said, and the different paces. But, you know, it's the respect and the support that we have on each other that makes a successful team.
Yes.
And I've always said, like, a competitor can copy our business, but they can't copy our team dynamics. Because that is unique, and that is unique to our business, and I can't to another business or team. So how are leaders incorporating a dynamic that is so beautiful and synced with each other that makes the magic of the business?
Yes. So what comes to mind is, you know, vertebrae number three of the coherence model in terms of train stations and destination. So what's going to be happening next? And where are you guys heading? I know you're expanding into Europe quite extensively. Some very exciting whispers that I'm hearing from you and others.
Yeah.
Maybe just share with us what's on the cards.
So humbly, a lot of learning from me. learning from individuals who have done this, taken a business into a region, being successful, and then now looking at other territories.
Yeah.
And again, there's nuances around that that are blind spots to anyone who hasn't done it. So learning, picking up, and having fun with it and playing, because it is great. I think it's very South African-ness of us to be that playful kind of, you know, don't make it too serious, go into new regions and countries and see how we can disrupt and create new opportunities and learn as well.
Yes.
There's definitely a humbleness, but again, I think we need to be bolder as South Africans, because we've got such magic that we don't show us being so proud in that.
Yes.
Which is quite cool and awesome to explore and experiment with.
I'm just grinning from ear to ear, because what the listener doesn't know is that Wayne Zweers is very, very intentional, as per your strapline. If you go to basalt.com, you are very intentional on making hay.
Yeah.
This I know about you, my friend.
Totally.
So when Wayne says that he wants to play and be playful and not be so serious and to be proud, he could pretty much add to that that he's aggressively entering the UK market with some pretty nifty ideas on the table, right?
Totally, and disrupting the financial sector and banking world. But also looking at one that is very progressive and established. The consumer understands the market very well and is actually the driver in that change, with looking at the solutions and financial applications and businesses there. But it's a great market to join into, and it's a mature market.
Yes.
But again, using South African knowledge, skills, and expertise, which are such value, and bridging the gap between that.
Got it.
Which is, you know, as you say, very intentional. I say the bridge the gap. One of my core purposes and principles in life is to use technology to bridge the gap between the have and have nots.
Got it. Got it.
Which resonates, I'm sure, with a lot of people.
Yes. So, I mean, on that note, if we think of vertebrae number one in the coherence model being, what do I most want to feel and how does that really motivate me? I think you're speaking to something that's quite a deep hunger for you.
So, visually, that answer is a person standing in a T-shirt with their hands up in the air on Times Square.
Yes.
And saying, like, I've achieved what I need to achieve.
Yes.
But it's not mandatory at all. I say Times Square because that was just the lights and it was quite busy and fun.
Yes.
And it's the feeling of what you would feel one day when you've achieved, because it's not the day that you arrived that's the feeling. It's the culmination of all the challenges, ups and downs that got one to there.
Yes.
But for me, with a lot of work and hard work, these things don't come easy. And
I noticed took a breath.
For me, it's freedom.
Yes.
And it's freedom to express my creativity through building solutions.
Amazing. Amazing.
And it seems so simple and clear, but to get to that point has taken many years and a lot of grit and determination.
Yes. I mean, there's two sides to this conversation. There's the idea of how I express myself in my life. I mean, that's the very reason we're here, is to actually express ourselves.
Yeah.
We're so outcomes-based in terms of what we need to do. I use the analogy of a tank. To go from A to B. And then as you pan out to satellite, looking at the situation, start to realize, well, actually, if I'm not here to express myself, what am I actually here to do?
Totally.
So it's lovely that you mentioned that. But then on the other side of the fence, there's this administration. There's the delivery.
Yeah.
There's the logistics. There's the human capital aspect. There's the getting it over the line on a practical level as an entrepreneur, cutting his own cloth on a global stage.
Yeah.
So in my experience of you, I've watched you mature over the last year and a half in terms of finessing and creating more definition around how you manage your time, the deep work aspects, where your biggest leverage pieces are, and then how to increase your efficiencies to handle the day-to-day obligations of an entrepreneur. This has been a biggie for you.
Totally. And sure, you can go.
How much time do you have?
That's a biggie. And I think it resonates with many people. And the reality is only going to get faster and bigger and for everyone, because the barriers to entry are lower. Information is freely flowing and oftentimes, how do I plug my brain into technology so I can just download so we can just get the message and go on and move on? Because typing, as Elon says, like your thumbs, we've got monkey thumbs. I mean, that's how fast we communicate, which is just not acceptable to the pace in which technology is moving today.
Yes.
But I think also, like listening to what you're saying now, an entrepreneur is not successful without a team. And it's not just your business team. You're talking about your kids, young and old, however, whatever age, your partner.
Yes.
And it's interesting because I was smiling when you're talking. It's like my amazing wife as well, when we went to London, it's like the question we had was, we're going to get there, we're going to see how we feel.
Yes.
So like, it was just a feeling, and it was like, just give it space, breathe in, and how does the city feel?
Yes.
It's not about the objective or the direction or what that is. And I remember even walking, finishing a meeting 3 weeks ago and walking through Soho, and I was like, oh, this feels good.
Yes.
I feel the direction that needs to happen here.
Yes.
And it was much more clearer than having a written plan. And I think sometimes we get so distracted around the distraction that we actually forget to feel these things and ask the important questions, like, wow, what is it for? What are we trying to achieve? Like, what impact are we trying to make?
Yes.
And again, since we started, the interesting thing was with that speed conversation was, you know, you're going to race and you're going to get to the end and you're going to win the race. But when you look around, who's going to be with you?
Yes. And what state are you in?
Yeah.
What state do you land up in?
And if I didn't make changes, you know, you want to have that. It's great to have freedom and time, but on your own is just not valuable.
Yes.
So, you know, how's that journey going to be shaped and mapped out to get to that finishing road that you cross it with everyone?
Yeah. So true to form, you've been really comprehensive, thorough, and quite diligent in your coherence journey. Vertebrae number 5, figuring out what enough is so you can celebrate along the way. Your very smart, very beautiful, and very driven wife, who I've had the pleasure of engaging with, and you, I've certainly noticed, have started to pause and take stock of how are we receiving? Are we in receptive mode? Are we downloading the moment? Is this enough? Or are we just on overdrive?
Totally. And enough is different things for different people. It can be from material to experiences. And, you know, we say, even last night, we say, you know, we might going into a bit of a, not tough or rough time, but a quite intense time, potentially on some moving and shaking we might do. But the trick here is to breathe and not be reactive and actually focus on what is pivotal to keep us grounded and how we're going to steer through that.
Yes.
And just getting that and agreeing that with someone or understanding each other in that on a deeper level is just so reassuring and refreshing as well.
Yes.
But doesn't come easy. It takes a lot of time.
I understand. And, you know, and when you mention that, I think of this idea of architecting in advance. So you're speaking as a leader, and to me this is the definition of a leader. A leader is someone who has visuals ahead of time because they've taken the time to look ahead and understand what will the features of the situation be. So a leader is someone who likes to orientate ahead of time. So Romy, for the listeners, Wayne's wife, and yourself are really looking at the future and saying, how do we smart architect in advance versus how do we just deal with life's hard knocks? Yeah, and what has to happen next?
Totally. So here we go. So I'm taking off my watch even now.
Yes, well done. Well, great watch. Can I have that watch?
Even like Dr. Joe, like Joe Dispenza. Now, you know, how do you create the future from the past? You need to recreate and manifest which from the future to bring it into the now, because the past is just preconceived or, you know, not necessarily the direction we want to go.
Yes.
So we need to unlock what was in the past that is not going to define us for the future, and build on where we want to be and what that picture idea looks like in our head, in our mind, and bring that to reality. And in the present moment, do those things that would get us to there.
Yes. So that's an amazing way that you describe locking in on that which you want to create and having it inform you in the now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So adherence vertebrae number 4, the adherence model, it's been around for a few years. It's not my model. It just informs the coherence model. But just to explain to the listener, there's 3 components. Wayne and I have been dealing with this quite extensively. The idea that the top companies in the States at a certain point were running ahead because they had higher adherence levels. They were able to stick to items more consistently for longer than some of the young guns or brilliant teams who had plenty of resource, plenty of time, plenty of cash, yet weren't as adherent and fell behind or jumped ahead and then fell behind. They weren't consistent. This idea of he or she who is adherent can actually realize those items that you're imagining in your future that are informing you in the present. So let me just ask, if you take one of your key skills that you've become more focused and more consistent around, in other words, more adherent, what might it be?
That's a very good question. And I think compounding is just as critical as to that, because it's micro habits and micro changes that one makes that makes up the total. So I think so often we look at the bigger piece, and it's actually the smaller ones that give us the bigger results.
Yes.
And I mean, look at Warren Buffett. It was compounding through like 60 years that made him where he is. So it wasn't not emotionally charged or drive, because he would have sold many times when he shouldn't. He just stayed for the long game.
Yes.
Which is interesting. So, yeah, atomic habits, micro habits,
yes,
compounding. These are very interesting things that are starting to come out on consistently doing the same thing or focusing on something that chips away at it, which gives a bigger net result.
Yes. Let's give an example just to land it for the listener, okay? We take this idea of spaciousness, Wayne's wears being more spacious versus constricted. And right now, Wayne's sitting back in his seat. and so he's actually actively engaging his spaciousness. He's like a great coat hanger. He's got now more oxygen in his lungs. His spine is straight. His shoulders are back. He can think better. Okay. So the skill, the competency of becoming spacious, we could say that's a hard skill out there. Okay. That's a real valuable skill. So for the listener, if we score Wayne out of 10, right now he's on a podcast, but I don't think he's too fussed, and I think he has performance anxiety. He's pretty relaxed. So let's just say he's a 9 out of 10 for spaciousness. Is that about accurate, Wayne?
Yeah.
Okay. So now the way this adherence model works is to say, out of 10, how focused is Wayne on his spaciousness? And out of 10, let's score him, how consistent is he with his spaciousness? And then we take these three scores and we times them by each other. So that's the compounded that you're referring to, right?
Totally. And also, how consistent are you in spaciousness when you in a moment that's not spaciousness?
Yes.
Because that's the pivotal piece. You can't to be spacious in spaciousness is easy.
Yes.
So before this podcast, I had a rush to Otembo, drop my mom at the airport to, you know, the family won't see her for quite some time, rush back here in traffic on the highway and get here. So my journey to get to this podcast was not that of spaciousness.
Yes.
But the 5-minute walk before this podcast, just breathe in, go to the pool, wet my face a bit.
Yes.
Just breathe a bit, kind of gives me that back in the moment and turn the phone off, and I am where I am now, and that's what I need to be doing right now.
Yes, amazing. And just to amplify the point here, yes, you decompress. So you have more access to oxygen, blood flow, metabolism. But let's face it, when you're spacious, your mind is able to be discerning and measured to read the features of a situation. So you have more optics on what you're looking at or engaging with.
Totally. And you're not going to meet extraordinary people doing ordinary things.
Yes.
Just to sum that up, I think.
Yes. Yes, that does sum you up.
And I think, we land up in interesting places with very interesting individuals that are actually changing the world we live in just because of that. Mm. And that can be in very remote places of the world.
Yes. So we've spoken about masculinity a few times, just in terms of what defines you as a man. Where are you heading as a man? What's your perception of your masculinity? And I know that you engage with some interesting characters all over the world in terms of your business. And I also know that you've started to experience another through their spaciousness.
Totally. And I think we're going quite deep here. And there's a good learning that I've gone through and maybe others would learn from as well is, you know, the masculinity was not where I needed to have been. And I think it's probably on upbringing or how we, you know, we all have different psychologies of where we come from, what time or decade we're born in, what families, what country. And one of those is not being forward and open for asking what I want.
Yes.
So just being direct and saying, I want this, I need that. Can anyone bring that to the table or not? And, you know, that was not easy for me at all. But since I've got comfortable with the uncomfortableness of doing it, it's been quite enjoyable. And a lot of traction as well.
Yes.
Because, it's just clear and direct to what one looks for.
Lovely. So you're describing getting comfortable with discomfort.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Totally. And you know, we often in our coaching sessions have spoken about being clear versus being cautious or kind first. And often people look at me with a slight frown because kindness should always come first. But actually, clarity is the ultimate act of kindness, isn't it?
Totally. And it gets harder in the deeper relationships with partners, wives, husbands, because that's where we compromise as well, which is quite interesting and coming up for me at the moment a lot, is when you compromise, you actually you're not doing yourself or anyone else any justice, because the outcome is actually far worse.
Yes.
Because you compensate when you compromise.
Yes.
Where sometimes it's upsetting someone is saying how it is, or what needs to be is just what needs to happen.
Yes.
But it's not many people can do that, and do that clearly and gracefully, I think, as well, is important.
Yes. So grace and clarity. Before this podcast, we were actually dialoguing around your leadership style and how it's upgraded. And one of the distinctions, one of the features of the upgrade has been the clarity with which you lead and what that means to you and others.
Yeah, totally. And the exciting thing around that is the clarity of the long-term outcome of a journey.
Yes.
So I sat with one of my financial director and said, like, this is what I want to achieve, and this is what I'm thinking or seeing in coming 5 years.
Mm.
What does that look like, feel like to you? Where do you sit in that? How does it work? And he said, yeah, that's where he's. And we kind of agreed on what that would be.
Yes.
And then I said, you do realize along the journey, we're going to disagree and we're not going to see eye to eye on certain things. But if we understand what that end road was, or train station, as you were said earlier,
yes,
we'll just agree to compromise or not agree on certain things because we know we want the same outcome.
Yes.
But that's also a beautiful thing for marriage or for a relationship as well.
Yes.
Because sometimes I've heard people say, you know, I moved to this country for my children.
Yes.
But like, what about you?
Mm.
Like, you know, what did you do for yourself, and why? Mm. You know, you can't just, one can't, shouldn't only think like that.
Mm.
And even Romy and myself saying, well, you know, what is that journey together and the outcome for both of us? What are we going to do one day when our kids are like in different countries? Because potentially that's how it is. No one's in the same country. Where are we going to be, and what are we going to do?
Yes.
And I think not having that plan or that intention together can make it quite gray and like sticky along the journey, because you haven't agreed the potential outcome of what you want to land together.
Yes. So it's interesting. And you're speaking about going forward to understand the alignment and then seeing how can we be coherent together in reaching that alignment piece. How do we navigate down these tracks through these train stations to get to that destination? And being clear is a huge contribution to that conversation. Because if you're not scared to be clear,
yeah,
you can understand what you're dealing with.
Totally.
Yeah.
And different people are going at different paces at different times.
Mm.
So no one's ever going to sail in the same direction at the same speed at the same time.
Yes.
You just have to know where everyone is at what stage and then understand that and appreciate it as well without judgment.
Yes, but this is where you're quite agile, Wayne. So just for the listener, Wayne is incredibly mentally, emotionally agile human being. And I think in your industry, it's a massive advantage, because it's unlike you to get stuck in a corner in a limited narrative. You would almost challenge yourself to try think out of the box and see if you're stuck in a box in the first place.
Totally.
In fact, to the point where I think you actually enjoy looking at life from that place. Yeah.
It's one of the things I've been like vacillating leading up to this podcast, is when your back is up against the wall, what do you do? And it's always up against the wall for like a year or two or even 3 years. And I think that's where the magic is actually created. Eh?
Mm.
Always had that saying, like a sailor learns his skills in the roughest of waters.
Yes.
So like if it's easy sailing, we're not going to grow or get those tools or strengths that we need.
Yes.
To expand and give us that kind of gravitas or leverage.
Yeah, and that really relates to vertebrae number 5, working out what is enough. You know, I mentioned it just now, but just for the purposes of the listener again, just to amplify, if we don't work out along the way what enough is incrementally, we could be worrying, concerned, always on the treadmill like a tank in the micro, and never pan out enough to be versatile, to be agile, because there isn't a safety mechanism in place. Whereas if we start to create alignment pieces and work out what enough is along the way, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, we've got a bit of security, don't we, in terms of a container.
Totally. And that spaciousness has absolute magic, because you come up with concepts or ideas or thought processes that are so different. So like what is enough was always like a monetary thing for me.
Yes.
Again, probably upbringing or, you know, where I was or culture or whatever. But the money only defined was to me, the money was only a point to give freedom. And then what is freedom? And freedom is time. And what's the value of time versus money? Because you can't buy that back. And
yes,
how do you bend time to then create more time, which was another whole dimension that I kind of went and looked and explored into. But I don't work for money now because I have a better, bigger purpose than that. And I make clearer decisions because of that. And there's no less ego involved in that. And sometimes the decisions are quite profound because they're not monetary, but actually right.
Yes. So just for clarity, you're not saying you don't charge for your services. Back to that app, Wayne.
That's an interesting question because I think around the charging and the transfer of any kind of something that negotiating or barter is,
yes,
you only give something if you see value in it.
Yes.
So if you're phoning someone and they never answer, they don't see value in you.
Mm.
So that there's just no value and you have no value. Not that you don't have value as a person, but if a person or company is delivering value and someone can understand that value, they will then pay or contribute back in what that value is.
Yes.
So it's really around value in terms of what can one do for another and what would they pay or charge or give back on that.
Yes, it's in the exchange, isn't it?
Yeah, which then goes into crowdsourcing and funding, and there's all really cool things happening in that space as well.
Yes. So now the listener won't see this, but Wayne's eyes just lit up at those three words. Tell us, share, at least spoil us with something in terms of what's happening in Europe, what's got your fancy. I heard the word NFT floating around quite extensively at some point.
Yeah, so definitely we're busy on building a cold wallet for a Bitcoin exchange, which is really exciting. But a lot of jargon and lingo around these things. And I think the interesting thing is, for me, is that we're going through a cycle and a change in society where monetary is starting to have a different kind of approach and value and understanding.
Yes.
So it's more the theory around that and the, I was listening to someone say this morning, retirement and all these things was in the 70s. It only came up, was so new that we're still playing with that, even in a sense.
Yes.
So we're entering into a very interesting space and place. And those that are understanding and building and developing it are just the opportunity. I mean, I've been pulled around the table where someone said, they can make $1 billion if we do this. And it's like, whoa, that's scary.
Because
we don't know what that means or what regulatory or there's... It's so new in the territory, so amazing to adventure into those spaces and places. But it's exciting and also new, and we're loving it and enjoying this journey.
Amazing. So if we look at the next 6 months of this year, you have an amazing South African team and you're building a European team. Where will we find Wayne's Wares in the next 6 months? I assume on a plane quite often, but just orientate us.
So, I think bridging continents and cultures and skills and expertise, is definitely a shortage of skills and talent in every country.
Agreed.
And who's got what for where? So I think that's kind of an interesting thing I'm looking at the moment.
Yes.
So it's less about we can't find, it's like who has and how do we work together with that?
Yes.
Where's there a need and how do we fill that gap?
Yes, like a plug and play.
Totally agreed, yeah. And I'm just kind of be the to bringing that together, really, and having fun and enjoying doing that. So definitely an African play in space. Some things are leading to Switzerland as well, the banking in there and crypto, and that's been in that territory, which is quite cool and exciting. But again, there's more capital than there ever has been in the world today.
Interesting comment.
And it's just not a scarcity world we live in.
Yes.
So there's absolutely amazing stuff to be designed, developed, and built. But also in scarcity in developing countries, there's always that saying, there's no opportunity in a country, say, in Africa or in South Africa. But there's so many challenges and problems. Take one, there's hundreds of thousands we can find every day and turn it into opportunity and monetize it.
Sure. So the image I get is almost like a slipstream. And observing over the last year and a half, you become very coherent and agile in terms of engaging in that slipstream versus being caught in the riverbanks with incoherent characteristics, behaviors, habits, or ways of looking at the world. Let me just ask you, I'll put you on the spot slightly, which you're very used to. If you had to earmark where you've become the most coherent in the last, say, 2 years, what would that area be? I mean, there's There's tens and tens. But what stands out? Don't be shy.
There's many. And so when you said put me on the spot, the thing that came to mind was, you know, we often, like Romy and I say, oh, we're in white water. We're washing up in white water. This is like, this is like not where we need to be. Let's get into tides and currents because those are more impactful. So that's an awareness to see where we are at what stage and say, well, that's, we're not that, or we're not there, and we shouldn't be there in that point or that energy level. But I think what's quite topical now and where we're at is the operating model.
Yes.
What is our operating model?
Yes.
And then it's become like kind of a household term and name in our family and in the business as well.
Yes.
And then saying, well, even this last week, what is the winter and summer operating model?
Yes.
Because different things happen and, you know, it's colder, it's cozier.
Yes.
Summer's more expansion, it's more outdoor. So, you know, what is that operating model? And seeing with family and many people moving and traveling different continents and settling in different places.
Yes.
We are the same people we are, whether we live in Europe or in South Africa.
Yes.
But the only way to upgrade or change that is to change the person who we are.
Yes.
And it can be frustrating for me at times because I see that in so many people. They're looking for the external to change things in themselves.
Yes.
But it's an internal upgrade.
Mm.
But even just to explain that is very hard at times. So
you're describing deep currents, deep waters versus whitewash.
No.
In other words, the whitewash being the frenetic,
the
disorientated, the split mm-hmm. thinking, split attention. And then very much as an operating model, having a framework, a matrix that you're designing your life, your domestic and professional life in accordance with.
Totally.
Very much like a satellite, being able to look at the situation from above and say, how do we want it to be? Not just how is it or what's predictable, but how can we influence and architect this?
Totally. And that even starts with the family's values. So what is one's family's values?
Yes. So when you've got two beautiful kids who are very energetic, what would you say their key value is at this point?
Sure. I think there's just zest for life and just enjoying life's great moments. Eh? It's funny because, you know, we've traveled now with them and we've been in interesting, must we say, fancy places, and that doesn't excite a child, eh?
Yes.
Now in London, they love the parks, and the parks was like their best thing.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I think as we get older, we get manipulated or brainwashed. Maybe I'm being quite flippant into realities that aren't necessarily those that make us happy or have like created a light in our heart.
Yes.
And you see it in kids where it's just the simple things. And I think, you know, for any of us, if someone says, what was a great memory in your life? You always go back to something that was so like random.
Yes.
Like lying on the beach doing something, or that time we went and we just bunked school and we went to do something. Or so it's, you know, how do you find more of that magic in those magical moments?
Yes.
I think that's where my kids are at the moment, which is quite cool and playful as well.
Yes.
The opposite of work is play. So that's where I play.
Yes.
I have fun with my kids.
But, you know, kudos to you because I've watched you as you've embraced coherence. You've really integrated your competence around coherence. I've watched you assess your role as a dad. And in line with increasing your spaciousness, I've watched you practice coming into the present moment. We've had many conversations around choosing one quality that you want to center yourself around with each child so that you actually deliver something of meaning versus these random events strung together in this thing called time. I remember the conversation we had on the beach around what one quality would you choose for each child for the next year, and then how does that play out if you just focus on that as a presencing piece within spaciousness?
Sure. And that's a beautiful thing because that was achieved because our kids coming from Johannesburg, city kids, their preferential was only like a 20 degree and like having to expand that to a 360. So I think the way one can illustrate that is if you put a kid on the beach, as we discussed, they sit and go, well, I need an iPad, I need a phone, where that's that kind of the kind of narrowed kind of perception of a child's development where they look around and they see a rock and a twig and they pick it up and then they're chasing each other and running on the rocks and in the water.
Yes.
That's kind of the 360 piece. And we were in that narrowed piece and we're with our kids in that 360 and it's just so beautiful to watch and see. And they don't have iPads or phones. It's not their modus operandi. And they, They don't. It does. It's not their need because they actually not have fun with other stuff and other things. And
yes,
you see that when they're with other kids and in cities like New York, London city style.
Yes,
they can express and they don't need stuff to make them happy.
And I think what you also demonstrate is versatility. So you can get in and get out.
Yeah.
And that's something I've seen in terms of the way you handle yourself, your teams, your approach to your future. Within the lens of being more coherent, being versatile around engaging an item and then pulling out of it, engaging in another. So being definitive versus blurred lines. So iPad now, 1 hour finished.
Yeah.
Beach now, 3 hours, beach go finished.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, lovely.
And I think, you know, that was something that I always thought I was all over the show and so fast, but actually those that come close to me know that it's absolutely not, and it's totally the opposite. I'm so focused. I'm so zoned in. It's just a lot.
Yes.
and I smile and laugh because I met a lady in London a couple of weeks back as well, and she was like, geez, I thought that you were all over the show. And then when I spoke to her, I realized, oh, okay, this is very clear. Each one is set up and structured in a different way, and I'm talking about businesses. So, yeah, it's... We sometimes harden ourselves and our narrative and our thinking about who and what we are is actually not correct, and we have to upgrade that perception of who we are as people.
Yes.
Because we've been told something by everyone else because they saw something they didn't understand.
Yes. So the world thinking that you're super fast and not necessarily concentrating because you're moving at 100 miles when in actual fact you're actually quite agile and paying acute attention quite often.
Totally. Yes. So if you're driving on the highway and you're going faster than everyone else, you're actually more in control because you're passing the cars.
Wayne, I don't think we should take that theory into Natal, where I come from.
But it's just interesting. See, the slower you are, people are coming past you. You can't see who's coming behind and where they're going. So it's, but obviously every course is for courses.
I hear you. Have you seen the potholes recently? I'm just teasing. Okay, so just to wrap up... a key question going forward. Clearly, you have a very expansive plan for Basalt, intentional technologies. I love that word, intention. So out there in the market, if you're a South African in 2022, what problem or challenge or requirement would Basalt typically solve for a key South African company at the moment?
So our strategy is actually simple. Our strategy is in execution.
Yes.
So getting it done on time, every time, all the time.
Yes.
And I think there's not many people or places that can get shit done.
Right.
So that's really like what our strategy is right now.
Yes.
And our credibility is built on that.
Yes.
But underlying that is the type of people we are and who we are.
Yes.
We pitched on a massive insurer.
Okay.
And they awarded a supplier and then they fired them because after meeting, I said, these are the type of people we want to work with.
Yes.
It's the personal. And we say we're not professional, we're personable.
Mm.
And we disrupt, but also how we are and how we operate and how we think.
Yes.
And I think corporates are appreciating that and will appreciate a lot more of that in the future.
Yes.
Which is, it's really exciting and we're having fun doing that as well.
So actual succinct service delivery.
Yeah.
Got it.
Intentional.
Okay. So thank you for your time. As always, good to engage with you. I'm really looking forward to seeing what your coherence, your marked increase in your coherence over the last year and a half opens up for you as you enter the global stage. And I look forward to many, many conversations around what your spaciousness, your alignment, understanding what's enough for Wayne Zwiers, his family and his company, and most of all, being very clear around what you most want to feel in your life, what you most want to experience opens up for you.
Amazing. And thank you for having me on your show and the shared learning around the dialogue and everything that we've discussed. It's just amazing and a blessing. And it'll be really cool to see like 5 years forward to listen to the show again and see where everyone's at and where everyone's still heading and how relevant and real that actually is or was.
Agreed.
Amazing. Thank you.
Agreed. Thanks, Wayne.